Dear fellow Christians, we read from God's Word today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. But we must always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and work. These are God's words before us today. It's no fun to be caught in the middle. We like to, by nature, have our freedom to choose, our freedom to opt out, our freedom to go a different route. If something in life doesn't satisfy us, if it doesn't stimulate us as we want it to, we like to be able to choose a different alternative. But when you're caught, you don't have anywhere to go. There are times when we're caught in the middle of something because of necessity, because we need to reach an end of something, a goal perhaps. Take the dentist's office as an example. No one wants to go to the dentist. No one enjoys being there. When you have a cavity that needs to be filled, no one enjoys that process. No one signs up willingly for that, but no other options really exist either. You can ignore the reality of what you have. You can act like it's not there, but it's something that's going to get worse. You're caught in the middle of something there. But there's a goal. There's an end to be reached. Take the airport as another example. It always amazes me when I go to the airport how many people are there. There are always tons of people at the airport, but it's one of the places in life that people hate to be at the most. When you get to the airport, your number one goal is to get out of there as quickly as possible. No one likes being there. But really, if you want to fly somewhere, you don't really have any other options. You're caught in the middle of that, but there's a goal to be reached. At other times, though, when we're caught in the middle of something, it's because it's just out of our control. It's not that there's a plan or a purpose or a goal to it. It's not that we see a light at the end of the tunnel or anything like that. Sometimes it's just a situation that is more powerful than we are. Take a natural disaster as an example, or a health crisis. It's not like there's a planned goal or purpose at the end of those things, but you're caught in those things sometimes because you're just out of control. Whether we're in a situation where we're learning something or moving on to the end of a goal or completion of something, or if it's just a matter of a situation that's out of our control, no one likes to be caught in the middle. No one likes to have to face that harsh reality of knowing that I have no other options. I can't opt out. There are plenty of examples we could list in our lives, but there are also several in our faith. We see an example of that today in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. And this text tells us about a situation where these Christians were in a place where they were caught. Paul describes a situation in a setting that there are no other legitimate options to go to. You're in the middle of it. You have to deal with it. But the lesson of our text is that it's not a bad place to be. For a believer, it's not a place where we need to be discouraged or give up hope. Because sometimes when we're caught in the middle of something that God is doing, it's exactly where He wants us to be. Our text for today divides nicely into three sections, and you see that structured there in your bulletin. And we'll take a look at each one of them individually. To start, I'd like to jump to that middle section, that single verse from verse 15. In this section from God's word, there's one call to action. We might call this a command from God. There's one thing that he wants you to think about moving forward. There's one thing he tells us about his expectation for us. He's pointing the finger at your life and he's telling you what he wants you to do. This call to action is stated this way: therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. This right here, this verse, is the middle. This is the place where we're caught in our faith. This is what we're in the middle of, but it's structured around what God does. We're caught in the middle of God's mercy through his Son, Jesus, as given to us by the Holy Spirit. But it's important to remember this verse because it's what God wants us to remember for our lives moving forward. It's what God wants us to keep in mind in those moments and times of our lives where we doubt his plan or we get discouraged because we feel like no other options exist. When we want a way out, God wants us to remember what we should be thinking about. You see, the difficulty that we encounter when we're caught in this area of our faith is that we're in the middle of time and eternity. God is eternal. We are in time. And there's always a disconnect when he comes down to us, when he speaks to us or brings something to our lives, when he promises to bless us with something. There's always a difficulty that is attached to that because it's going from his realm of eternity to our existence in time. That's where the struggle comes from. That's why we don't like to be caught in the middle of his work, because it's hard for us to understand sometimes. But God's telling us here, he is in control. God's control of the matter is where the rest of the text comes in. And it's structured as his choice and his comfort. Jump up now to the first two verses. Verses 13 and 14 describe a choice. Now, when that word is used, most people think it's a choice we have to make. Most people think of their faith as a choice they've made for God. Sometimes the world and the broader realm of Christianity uses catchy illustrations to talk about this, you know, turning on the ignition switch so that God can light your heart on fire, if you will. Or perhaps opening the door to God so that he can come into your heart. Those illustrations are catchy and memorable, and they all focus on pointing the choice at our lives. But that's not what God is saying here. If that's what we understand about our faith, then our hope is severely limited to what God actually offers. Rather, the choice being described here is God's. God chose to save us. God chose to send us spiritual aid when we needed it. God chose to give us his only begotten Son as a payment for sins. And that's exactly what these verses talk about. These verses are the summary of our faith. They're the staples of what we believe. In these brief words, in just two verses of the Bible, we're taught astounding things about God. We're told that God calls us. That even before we were in the earth, that even before we were born, God chose us in eternity to be his own. We're told that God calls us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He calls that sanctification. That it's not dependent upon our will or our desire or our feeling or our emotion, but God is the one who makes the choice. And that call is given to you every time you hear the gospel. We're told that God chose to record this message of salvation in his word, to give it to us in a forum of truth so that we wouldn't have to doubt, so that you wouldn't have to take my word for it or somebody else's opinion for it, but you could go back to, for yourself, the very words of God. All of these things are well-known teachings that we're aware of in our faith, but when you take a step back for a moment and take a look at them and think about them, they're profound in their meaning for your life. In these two verses, God gives you all the information you need to be a believer. And they all center around his action, the choices that God made for your salvation. That's really what your faith rests upon. It's not about your decision. It's about a decision that God made long ago. When we say that God made a choice, there's much more to that than just planning salvation. The Bible does tell us that God planned salvation in eternity. Now that's something to wrap your minds around. How God could plan the very gift of salvation to be delivered even before mankind fell into sin and needed that gift. But when we talk about God's choice, it's a lot more than just that. It also means that God made the choice to complete that plan. A choice that involved sending his son to earth and sentencing him to death on a cross for our sins. God made that decision long before we were around. God describes that choice now, both from his perspective and ours. Take a look at verse 13. That verse is about eternity. That verse is describing the message of salvation, the basics of our faith, from God's perspective. It's describing it in terms of God's working. But verse 14 is about time. It's about how we receive that blessing from God. This is why feeling caught in our faith can be tough. God's in eternity and we're in time. His blessings are true and certain. We can look in the Bible anytime we want and see what he tells us. But he says they must also be received. They must also come down to your life here in time. Sometimes we're discouraged by being caught in our faith, by not being able to always understand the way God works or when he's going to deliver what he promises. Sometimes it's tough to hang on to every word of God and to take him at his word when we have so many questions of our own. And that's where it's tempting to go a different way. That's where it's tempting to opt out. That's where we want that freedom to say, I'm going to go a different way, Lord. I want to choose something that's better from my perspective. But the reality is that there's nothing comparable to what God can give us. There's nothing better out there. There's nothing that exists that's worth moving on to. And so God reminds us, as he does in our text, that sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes the best place for us to be is to be caught in our faith. Jump now to our third section, to the last two verses of our text. Here we see the other side of God's work, which is now centered on comfort. Paul writes, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word." Here we see the same connection, the same way that God described the choices he made for our salvation. He talks about it both from eternity and from time. Our faith, he tells us, gives us eternal encouragement through Jesus. But in the very next verse, he tells us that it also encourages our hearts and strengthens us in every good work and word today. Think of verses 13 and 14 as God describing what he does, and verses 16 and 17, God describing what it means for our lives. When we see, believe, and trust in the gospel, what God chose to do through his Son, Jesus Christ, and we combine that now with listening to his word and receiving that on a day-to-day basis, we are blessed with encouragement from God, from the comfort that he alone can give for our faith. But again, sometimes we resist being in this place of faith because there are many other options out in the world. That's why we naturally hate to be caught in the middle. We always want that freedom to have other options. We know and believe what God offers us and what it can do for us. I think we've all experienced in our faith lives the encouragement that God is talking about. But human nature wants to have a back door. Human nature wants to have a way out just in case things get a little bit too difficult. Just in case God calls me to follow some things that are really hard to follow. Just in case my faith makes me a little too uncomfortable in the face of the world. It's nice to have that backdoor option, isn't it? It's nice to know there's always a way out. But God tells us that's not the way it is with faith. Faith keeps us in the middle. Faith keeps us between God's choices and the comfort that those choices mean. And that's a good place to be. You don't have to be worried or discouraged by being caught in the middle of your faith. In times of trial, faith leads us to trust God. In times of temptation, faith leads us to obey God. That's not an easy path. That's not a comfortable path. That's not a way that's always going to be happy and cheery, but God tells us that's where we need to be. That's where He wants us to be. Overall, the message is that God has us covered. To be caught in the middle of His choices and His comfort is not a bad place to be. It's not restrictive or demanding. It doesn't command us anything out of our lives. And there is a purpose behind it. And that's where we come to the middle again. That's where we come back to the verse with which we began our study. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. That's the middle. That's what God tells us to do when we center our lives between His choices and His comfort. Hold firm. God calls you to stand firm in this place of your faith. Don't be distracted by the world. Don't be distracted by the other options. Don't be tempted to follow some other type of spiritual living in the world. Don't allow Satan to tell you that God doesn't really mean what he says, that you can't really take him at his word. Hold your ground. Stand firm. When we hear the word tradition, the word that Paul used, he said the traditions you were taught. When we hear that word, we think of something that can be taken or left. A tradition for us is something that's just passed down as sort of a custom or a ritual. And as long as it serves a good purpose, we can use it in our lives. But if it doesn't, we can get rid of it. That's not what Paul meant by that word. During his time, tradition meant something a lot more to Paul. Tradition meant not passing down a custom from one generation to the next, but passing down the gospel, the message of God's salvation, the truth of God's word that Jesus is the Savior. Think of Paul's generation. They didn't have the complete Bible yet. They didn't have the whole Old Testament and New Testament of God's word that they could go back to and use to transmit this message. They passed it down in their families. It went from fathers to sons and mothers to daughters. It went from grandfathers to grandchildren. That's how the message was transmitted. That was the tradition that Paul told them to hold firmly to. It wasn't a take it or leave it type thing. It was the basis of God's truth for them. And he says, whether you received it through a message spoken or through the word that was written, hang on to that. Think of another way that Paul described that. He wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 15 about tradition. He said, I passed on to you as most important that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the tradition. That was the message of Christ. Paul wasn't imploring the Thessalonians or the Corinthians to, well, find your own custom and your own tradition and ritual and keep doing that to preserve your own identity. No, he was telling them, find Christ and keep on passing that down. Cling to the Word. Today we call that Scripture or God's Word or the Bible, but it was Paul's tradition. That's where God would have us be, protected in His Word. The tradition of Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Savior, the power of the Word of God is able to counteract the ploys of Satan to rob us of our comfort in Christ. The Word of God is able to shatter the misconceptions of the world that paint Christianity and our faith in a different light. And yes, the Word of God and the power of Christ is even able to cause you to repent of your own pride in your heart. We need God's Word as protection. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad place to be. But the most beautiful thing about this is that's not even the best thing that God offers. As good of a gift as protection is, God says, I'm going to give you something even greater. The best thing about God's Word is that it makes His faithfulness our own. You see, when we step back to the very beginning and we recognize the struggle of being caught in our faith and that desire to want more options, that comes from our unfaithfulness. That comes from our sin. That comes from our unwillingness to listen to every word of God and take Him at His word. And the most beautiful thing about the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is God says, I'll replace your unfaithfulness with my faithfulness. Did you notice how personal Paul got in these words? He tells you that it's our gospel, that it's our message, that it's our letter, that it's our Lord Jesus Christ, that it's our God and Father. You're included in that group as a believer of Jesus. Because you have faith in Him, you're included in that family of believers. The greatest treasures of His grace are not just there to protect your faith, but to give you what Christ earned on your behalf. You're given a way to partake in the greatest that God has to offer, in the best of your Savior Jesus. It's not just something you can look up to God and admire in His Word and say, wow, look at my Savior. But He says those blessings are now yours by faith. That's what you have when you're caught in the middle of His choice and the middle of His comfort. The struggle between time and eternity is real, and it always will be, because it's tough to be a sinful mortal human who wants to follow a perfect eternal God. That's just always going to be tough. There's no way around it. And that's going to make us feel caught in the middle of things at times. That's going to make us feel caught in our faith and desiring a way out. Sometimes we want an easier way. Sometimes we want a way that blends in a little better with the world around us so we don't have to stick out. Don't follow those paths. Any way to God apart from Jesus is a lie. There's nothing better out there, no matter how good it sounds. There's nothing greater that you can choose for yourself or earn with your merits. There's nothing that's going to bring you better peace or comfort than what Jesus offers. God has you covered. God covers you to protect you and to encourage you in your faith. And when you're caught in the middle of His grace, you're exactly where you need to be. You're exactly where He wants you to be. And you're exactly where Jesus can offer you the greatest gifts possible. Let that be our end and our goal as Christians, to wait patiently upon the powerful Word of God, to use it as protection for our faith, and to trust with confidence that the merits that Jesus has earned for us are now ours by faith. Amen. Please rise.